So Naomi is in Bethlehem. She's married, and she has two sons. A famine comes to the land, and they're desperate to survive, so they move to the nearby land of Moab. And in Moab, her two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah and Ruth. And they live there for a while, and tragically, Naomi's husband dies. And then, to compound the tragedy, her two sons die, one after the other. So now Naomi is left with just her daughters-in-law in a foreign land. Now, in that day, a woman's prosperity was completely dependent upon being in her father's household, or upon her husband, or upon having sons. Guess what? Naomi had none of those things. She was basically destitute. She was in a hopeless situation. So then she heard that the famine had passed back in Bethlehem, and so she decided to go back and hopefully somehow reconnect with family, start over again. And so she starts traveling with her two daughters-in-law, but along the way she comes to realization, this is not going to be so great, and it's really not going to be great for her daughters-in-law. So she turns to them and tells them, look, don't worry about me. Just forget about me. You guys will have no future if you go with me. I'm not going to be able to have more sons that you can marry. I encourage you, go back to your families. Go back to your mothers. Find other men. Marry them. Take care of yourselves. And don't worry about me. And then something amazing happens. And this is Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Now, at this point, if you're a reader in those ancient times, you would have thought, okay, that totally makes sense. You wouldn't have looked down on Orpah. You would have said, she is being wise, and she has really gone above and beyond, even just sticking with Naomi this long. And so she's the wise person to go back. So we see that happening. Then it says this, but, and this is the shocker, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. She clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Wow. Whoa. What in the world? Something remarkable was happening here. Basically, Ruth was adopting Naomi as her mother. Already in that culture, basically the mother-in-law treated the daughter-in-law as a daughter, and the daughter-in-law was supposed to treat the mother-in-law as her mother because she had now joined the household of her husband. But this was above and beyond. Ruth was adopting Naomi as her mother. She was adopting Naomi's people, the Jews, as her people. She was adopting Naomi's God, Yahweh, the one, the living God, as her own God, and rejecting all the gods of her people. Ruth showed great honor to Naomi. And not only by adopting Naomi as her mother, but also by committing to her till death. I love this picture. It says she clung tightly to her and would not let go. I think that's a beautiful picture for us to keep in mind. How committed are we to our parents and our relationship with them? Are we clinging tightly to them and not letting go? Are we saying, I will not allow anything to separate us? Anything but death. And that can be hard to imagine, right? Our parents have let us down. I'm a parent, and it breaks my heart to see how I have let down my sons repeatedly. Our parents have hurt us. Our parents are flawed in so many ways. And sometimes the hurt is so great, we don't really want to continue in relationship with our parents, right? Or we'll do it, but in a more polite, official way, you know, birthdays, Father's, Mother's Day, holidays. But the rest of the time, I'm very happy with you keeping your distance from my life. But here we see this amazing picture of honor, committed till death. And I think that's the kind of way that we can honor our parents, by being committed to them and to that relationship, no matter what, in an unconditional fashion. Beautiful picture. Well, let's see what else happens here in this story. So Ruth and Naomi get to Bethlehem. What are they going to do? They have no men in their lives. What are they going to do? Ruth doesn't really have any skills, or Naomi, a way to provide. So we read this in chapter 2, verse 2. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." I love how she says that. All right, my daughter, right? So she sees her as her daughter. And this was really risky. You may not get this from just that sentence, but this is really risky. Basically, Ruth was saying, "I'm going to go to somebody's field." So basically, she's trespassing. "And I'm going to follow along behind the workers, and as they're harvesting the grain, invariably some pieces of the grain are going to fall to the ground, and I'm going to scrounge and pick those up." Imagine picking up little pieces of grain just to get enough to eat. And this was risky because the landowner could kick her out. If she's off by herself, the men could abuse her. They could even rape her. This was really risky and scary. But Ruth wanted to do that. Not only take care of herself, but to take care of her mother. And at the verses 17 through 18, we read this. "So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal." Do you see how Ruth honored her mom here? Ruth honored her mother by caring for her. She took care of her. You know, Ruth could have gotten to that new land and said, "You know what? It's hard enough for me to live, much less having to take care of this woman who, hey, come on, people. I mean, my husband died. We're not actually related anymore. You know, time for me to cut loose and make my own way." But she didn't do that. She clung to her. She took care of her. How much do we take care of our parents? I think it's a sobering question. Maybe you aren't thinking about that too much. I look out and I see most of you are pretty young. You've been used to your parents taking care of you to various degrees. Now, my parents are now almost 80, and we're already starting to look at and think about, boy, how are we going to take care of them when soon they're not going to be able to take care of themselves? But long before that, even now, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you can begin caring for your parents. You can care for them by calling them. You can care for them emotionally just by spending time with them, seeing how they're doing. If they have interests, doing those things with them, right? You can look out for them in all kinds of ways. Even now, you can begin to care for your parents. And that's a great way to honor the Lord. It's a great way to honor them. So let's see what happens next. So Ruth had gone to this field. What she hadn't realized was that this field was owned by a man named Boaz, and Boaz was related to Naomi. Now Boaz saw Ruth out in the field, found out who she was, and he told his workers to let her go, to let her collect the grain. In fact, he told them to drop more grain behind than they normally would. And he told the young men, "Don't touch her. Let her be." He even cooked her food and fed her and gave her extra to take back home to Naomi. And he told her, "From now on, don't go to anybody else's field. It's too dangerous. Just come to my field and I will take care of you." So Ruth comes home and tells Naomi about this. And let's hear what happens in chapter 2, verse 22 through chapter 3, verse 6. "Good," Naomi exclaimed. Yeah, really good. And she goes on to say, "Do as he said, my daughter. Stay with his young women right through the whole harvest. You might be harassed in other fields, but you'll be safe with him." So Ruth worked alongside the women in Boaz's fields and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. Then she continued working with them through the wheat harvest in early summer. And all the while, she lived with her mother-in-law. Again, this beautiful picture of commitment and care. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours, and he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now, do as I tell you. Take a bath and put on perfume and dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor, but don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do." "I will do everything you say," Ruth replied. So she went down to the threshing floor that night and followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. Ruth honored her mother by listening to her mother's advice. Basically, and modern readers read this and go, "What? What kind of advice was that? What is she even saying? Uncover his feet? What's the point of that?" Well, there's a lot going on here, and it's pretty profound. So Naomi was advising Ruth to let Boaz see that Ruth wanted him to marry her. See, she uncovered his feet, and then she laid down beside his feet, and she was dressed in her best clothes. You understand, Ruth was a young woman. Boaz was an older man. Normally, he wouldn't have much hope of finding a young wife at that point in his life. And she had to think of a way to approach him in a way that was appropriate. So by uncovering his feet and laying down beside his feet, she was basically saying, "If you want to, please cover me. Cover me with your covering. Cover me and take care of me. Take care of my mother-in-law. Be my provider. Be my redeemer." And this actually was pretty risky as well. Imagine if he had woken up, found this blanket off of his feet. He's like, "Oh, why are my feet cold?" And he looks down, I was like, "What? This is the woman I allowed to work in my fields, and she's coming in here and taking a blanket off my feet?" You know, and what are you doing here in here anyway? He could have been angry with her. He could have rejected her. He could have thrown her out and then cut her off even from getting any more grain. It was pretty risky. But Ruth decided to consider and value her mother's advice, and she followed it. How well do we do that? I know, looking at my life, not too well, especially when I was young. You know, there's this quote attributed to Mark Twain. Apparently he didn't say it, but it was in something he wrote. And I wish I could remember it exactly. I should have looked it up. But it was something like, you know, when I was 14, I thought my father was the stupidest man on earth. But by the time I got to 21, I was amazed how much he had learned. And, you know, there is this thing when you're young, especially as a teenager, you think your parents are complete idiots, and they just don't understand anything, and they don't understand you. But as you get older, you start realizing, no, actually, they understood a lot more than you had given them credit for. But still, especially as we grow up, we become independent, we're hesitant to go to our parents for advice. We'd much rather ask our friends, right? Our peers. And especially if there's any sort of relational barrier with our parents, or we don't respect our parents for some reason. You know, do we even ask our parents for advice? Not even doing what they say, but just even asking. You know, you can honor your parents just by asking them for advice. Whether or not you follow it, it honors them just by asking them. When I was in college, I remember I was going through some big life decisions. Ironically enough, I don't even remember what it was now. That's the way life is. Everything seems so big and important at the time. And so I went to a pastor and I said, "Hey, can you help me give me direction, guidance for my life?" And so we were talking, and then he asked me this interesting question. He said, "Hey, Aziz, have you asked your parents for their advice?" And I was like, no. Why? What kind of question is that? Why would I ask my parents for their advice? They don't know. They wouldn't know what to say. They don't really know me. You know, and besides, my dad isn't even a Christian. What kind of advice is he going to give me? It's certainly not going to be biblical. I'm not going to ask them for advice. And this pastor very wisely said, well, you know what, Aziz? Yes, you are a Christian. And do you know what the Bible says? I was like, okay, what does the Bible say? Honor your father and mother. And this is a great way you can honor them, by asking them for their advice. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to. And so I went, and I called my dad, and I kind of begrudgingly told my situation, asked for his advice, waiting for some stupid answer, and then I was going to have done my duty. I can hang up and be done with it. And he started talking to me, and he started saying, you know, Aziz, this is what I've seen in you. And oh my goodness, he was spot on. He knew me. Why does that surprise me? He raised me, and he knew me so well, and he really had some helpful thoughts and suggestions, and I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And not only was it helpful for me, he felt honored that I had called him to ask for advice. And it strengthened our relationship, which wasn't so great at the time. I was blessed. My dad was blessed. Our relationship was blessed. Why am I surprised that God kept his word? I honored my father and mother. I was blessed, and we were blessed. And that's what we see happen here in Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. So Boaz took Ruth into his home. So, yeah, we skipped over this, but basically he agreed, and he pursued her, and he pursued a way so that he could marry her. It's a beautiful story. And so he took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law, who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons." There's so much in here. God has provided for her a redeemer for her family. This redeemer was the son. The redeemer was Boaz. In some sense, the redeemer was through Ruth. And ultimately, you know who this redeemer was? Do you know who the descendant of Ruth is? Well, I guess I spoiled it early on. Jesus. Jesus, our redeemer, the redeemer of all of humanity. And I love how they describe Ruth. They said, "She has been better to you than seven sons." In those days, sad to say, in that patriarchal society, sons were valued more than daughters. And they were saying to Naomi, "Ruth has been like a son to you." So right away, they're recognizing that Ruth is basically her daughter. And not just a daughter, but like a son. And not like just like a son, better than seven sons. The sons were the ones who would carry on the name. Sons were the ones who could provide for you and take care of you. And they were saying Ruth, and seven is the number of perfection and fulfillment. They're saying Ruth is like and better than an infinite number of sons. That's how awesome she is. You are so blessed, Naomi, to have Ruth as your daughter. Ruth was blessed as she honored her mother. Naomi was blessed. Their people were blessed. All of us have been blessed through that. So how about you guys? What would it look like for you to honor your parents? How about in your actions, in your life? How committed are you to them and to your relationship with them? How much do you care for them? Not just emotionally, but how much do you take care of them? How much do you consider their advice? What about in your words? How do you speak about your parents? Do you honor them with your words? I know for me, I found this difficult at times. Sometimes I get kind of whiny or I complain, or I think of the negative qualities of my parents, and I talk about them in a disrespectful fashion, which saddens me later. How about in your thoughts? How do you even think about your parents, right? Your actions and words will flow out of your thoughts. Do you honor them in your thoughts? And I know that for some of us, we don't have a great relationship with our parents. Maybe your parents mistreated you, or maybe they were absent. Or maybe you just live in very different worlds and have little in common. Maybe there are ongoing disagreements and conflict. Still, for the sake of God, out of love for him and based on his love for you, he wants us to honor our parents, even the difficult parents, would you be willing to trust him in this? Would you commit yourself to figuring out how to honor your parents? I want to give you a few minutes right now to really think about this question. What would it look like to honor your parents? Not just on Father's Day or Mother's Day, but throughout the year. So get out a paper or pen or your mobile device, something to jot down with, and I'm actually literally going to give you a few minutes now on your own with God to pray, brainstorm, and write down any answers that come to your mind. Hopefully, you started thinking and thoughts came to your heart, maybe your mind. Maybe you're not finished. That would be awesome. I encourage you to take more time today to dwell on this. And also, just let me clarify, too. I know for some of us, we weren't raised by our biological parents. Maybe you were raised by your grandparents or another relative or adoptive parents. That's great. It's basically whoever raised you. That's who you ought to be thinking about here. And if you're not sure about what you wrote, or maybe you didn't come up with much, or you feel overwhelmed by the idea of honoring your parents, like, I don't even know where to begin to honor these people. That's okay. Get help. Get help. Don't give up. Talk to some mature Christians who can help you process what you're struggling with about honoring your parents, or who can give you some ideas. And if you might discover and realize that you need to seek professional counseling about your relationship with your parents, that's great. Get it. That's a way you can honor your parents. Get help from your spouse or roommates or siblings to love and honor your parents regularly. Boy, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for my wife Heather, I don't know. I'm terrible at remembering to call or anything. I'm so bad. And she's so great at just saying, hey, how's your mom doing? Oh, yeah. Why don't you give her a call? Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And she's so great at that. And, you know, whoever you're living with, they can help you with that. Ask God to help you. Another thing you can do is memorize Ephesians 6:2. Here it is. It's really simple. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. You guys all have big brains. You can memorize this probably in less than a minute. Look at the first part. Honor your father and mother. We're going to memorize that right now, shall we? Okay, let's turn that slide off. It's blanket. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Honor your father and mother. Pretty good, pretty good. Let's try it again. Just make sure it gets in there. Honor your father and mother. And one more. Honor your father and mother. Wow, that's simple, right? I don't think you'll forget that. Hopefully not. Memorize it. And memorize the second part. You know, this is the first commandment with a promise. That will help you. Honoring our parents is not easy work. It requires commitment and perseverance. It requires humility and self-sacrificial love. It requires believing God. It requires his help. But remember, it's the first command with a promise. You will be blessed if you do it. And ultimately, as you honor your parents, remember, you're honoring God himself. Let it be an act of worship. So in light of that, I thought it would be appropriate to tell you a little bit about my parents. As with all parents, they are not perfect people. They have their flaws and faults, and there are challenges in our relationship. But I want to take a moment right now to honor each of them. This is a picture of my mom. So beautiful. And she's there with Hannah Cody, who's also very beautiful. My mom is an awesome woman. She has so many amazing qualities. She loves people. She goes out of her way to care for people. She's bright and intelligent. She's fun to be with. She's musically talented. She's a piano teacher. The reason she's in that picture is because that was the reception for Matthew Ferry's wedding recently. And Matthew, I don't know if you know this, was her piano student. And so we've all gotten to benefit from my mom's piano teaching here in H2O Church. If you don't know, Matthew often plays the keyboards for us. But one quality about my mom that I wanted to highlight is my mom's faith. My mom became a Christian when she was a teenage girl in Lebanon, and she has been through a lot of really hard times, a lot of valleys, and yet she has held on to Jesus. And whenever my mom talks to me, whenever she writes to me, whenever she thinks of me, She says she's praying for me. She quotes verses. She encourages me to hold on to Jesus. And it never gets old. I need it. So often I don't even realize I need it until she says it. So often my faith is just barely hanging on, and this life is hard and it tests our faith. And my mom always brings me back, trust in Jesus. It'll be okay. He loves you. Here's a verse from the Bible. She has an amazing faith. And I'm so thankful for her. Here's a picture of my dad. And I love this picture because here he's with his mom near the end of her life in Lebanon. And again, my dad is an awesome man. He has so many wonderful qualities. And he's been a great dad to me. One of the qualities I really wanted to highlight about my dad is his compassion. In Lebanon, if you're a young man, your goal is supposed to be to make a lot of money, to go as far as you can educationally and make a lot of money. Society is very much focused on that kind of success. But my dad, at a very early age, basically rejected that whole paradigm. He was moved by compassion for people, and he became a doctor. And now he's one of the greatest gynecological oncologists in the world. And I know you're thinking, yeah, you're a little biased, Aziz. No, I really think he is. I'm pretty sure he is one of the greatest ones in the world. And he didn't do that for the sake of fame or money or power. He did that because he deeply, deeply cares about people. He has an amazing compassion for people who are suffering. And I know I've experienced that in my life. Whenever I have been going through anything difficult, my dad has been right there for me and has been willing to give anything to help me in that situation. So I love that about him. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my dad. And we've had our ups and downs. We've had our arguments. I've hurt them. They've hurt me. But Lord, I thank you for them. They're a blessing to my life. And the more I've gotten to know them, Lord, the more I thank you for them. And I'm honored to be their son. Help me, please, to honor them. I am so bad at that. I just forget. I get consumed with my own life. And I just lose sight of that. Lord, help us all. Thank you, Lord, for all our parents, all the people who raised us. Lord, bless them. And help us to love them. Help us to honor them the way you want us to honor them. Lord, show us how to do that. Increase our compassion. Increase our humility. Help us to honor our parents. In Jesus' name, amen.